You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
You're listening to QLJNRadio.com.
The Hot New Q.
It's time for Final Authority, a biblically-based program that speaks to questions from you, the listener, and addressing topics revealing truth and understanding of the scriptures in their appropriate context. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to speak to the host at any time during this live broadcast, dial 914-205-5481. Be sure to press 1. And now, here is the pastor of the Will of God Christian Center in Vallejo, California, Pastor Everett Robinson.
All right. Well, praise God. You have tuned in to KLJNRadio.com. Well, this is the Final Authority, your host, Pastor Everett Robinson. We air live every Monday, Pacific Standard Time, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we were out last week because of the holidays, called a blackout. You know, so we're back again, the Final Authority, and we're going to deal with a subject that I think that is very relative to us, to getting an understanding of what it means to walk in the Spirit. So we're going to deal with what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. And so before we do that, we'll pray, and we'll share the number with you after prayer to call in case you have questions, comments, or express a different view. Well, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Lord of all. You willingly laid your life down for us on that rugged cross, having satisfied the judgment of God for us in our place, died for our sins, shed your blood, was buried, and rose again from among the dead, alive forevermore, the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. We believe on you and openly confess you as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. Holy Spirit of God, we acknowledge you as the Spirit of truth. We welcome you, your ministry, your gifts, your power, and your wisdom. And Father God, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, the very Christ in whom you are well pleased and greatly delighted. It is in his name, it is by his blood that we come before you, Father. Faith in his blood, clothed in his righteousness, and on his merits we come, acknowledging you as our God, Father, source, provider, and giver of life. And Father God, we thank you for the word. We ask that your word would abound and increase and multiply in us and through us to and for the glorification of the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. We ask, O God, you will bless those who are tuned in to the show. You grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ and in the knowledge of the holy word. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you have a question, this probably be a two-part series. if you have a question or a comment, or maybe you want to express a different view other than the host, which happened to be me, we welcome everyone and anyone to please call 914-205-5481. Again, the number to call in for questions, comments, or the expression of a different view is the area code is 914-205-5481. And be sure to press the number 1 after you are connected, and my producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority. Okay, so the question is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Okay? And so Paul makes a statement in writing to a body of believers whom he had preached the gospel of Christ to. The people in Galatia and Antioch, he shared the message of the gospel of Christ. And they came to repentance and turn in faith and trusting in the biblical Christ in whom Paul had presented to them through preaching. And so Paul tells them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." All right, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, the Bible talks about things like live in the Spirit. It says you are in the Spirit. All right, and we'll go over those scriptures. And it says walk in the Spirit. Well, what does these terms mean? And you have to understand that this is a message specifically to those who are already in Christ. He's not giving a message to the world. This is not dealing with those who have not come to repentance and faith in Christ. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Paul says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so when he did what by faith in Christ Jesus, he already just, in the few verses prior to that, dealt with the sacrificial redemptive work of Christ on the cross, that Christ has to redeem us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. And so Christ on the cross was accursed, and our sins were placed upon him, and he was judged by God for our sins. Thus, he died and satisfied the demands of divine justice for us in our place. And all that he did was for us. He shed his blood for us. He was buried. He rose again from among the dead. And he's alive forevermore. Now, up on your hearing that message and coming under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to come to repentance and faith in Christ, and you come to an authentic, genuine faith in Christ, Paul says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. So I trust Christ. I rest my faith on Christ, who he is and what he has done for me by way of the cross of Calvary, and thus I am a child of God. So Paul is addressing those who are the children of God by virtue of faith in Christ. And he tells them, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walking in the Spirit, what does that mean? Okay, now, we'll deal with that momentarily. But let me just show you something. I'm going to take you back, because our foundational text is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So the believer in Christ, those who are children of God, who have faith in Christ, Paul, by the Spirit, is instructing us to walk in the Spirit. We have to deal with the lusts and the desires of the flesh, that fleshly nature we have. And we deal with desires. Sometimes out of that, the lust of the flesh can be impulses and emotions and stuff like that. But that's due to depraved nature. And so Paul wants the believer to walk in the Spirit. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Okay? So in Romans chapter 8, I will start reading. I'll start reading at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, let me stop there. Let me go back and deal with the fact that in verse 9, Paul says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, notice Paul says that about those who are in the Spirit. He says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, I'm not in the Spirit because I go to church. I'm not in the Spirit because I go to religious, or I'm religious. I'm not in the Spirit because I do religious works. He said, I'm in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So those who have not come to repentance and faith in Christ, who do not have the Holy Spirit in them, called the Spirit of God, and also called the Spirit of Christ in the same verse, says he is none of his. So, but he's telling the believers, he says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells me, I'm in the Spirit. Okay, so I'm in the Spirit. So by virtue of the fact of my union with the Lord Jesus the Christ, I am connected to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, but notice he says in verse 11, the Apostle says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we see that we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit, called the Spirit of God, called the Spirit of Christ. All right, we see this. So we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, Jesus said that he will teach you and he will guide you into all truth. So that is the person, the work, and ministry of the Holy Spirit, to teach you and to guide you. So by virtue of the fact that you have come to faith in Christ, you were placed by the Spirit in Christ, and the Holy Spirit took residence in you. So you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So by virtue of the fact that you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you, according to Paul, are in the Spirit. Okay? Now, let me have you look at Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly, and I'll just read this one particular verse because of the limited time we have. So, in Ephesians chapter 2, I'll just read verse 21. In whom, that's in Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, verse 22, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, God lives in you through the Spirit. See, he's addressing those who have already heard the gospel, who have been identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, who have come to a union with Christ. He tells them that you are the habitation of God by the Spirit. So God dwells in you by his Spirit. Thus, you are in the Spirit positionally before God. Now, Paul tells the believers in Galatia, he says, walk in the Spirit. So now, when he says this over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. So now, you're living a life that is centered on being led by the Spirit. Now, what I want you to understand is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, and the Word agree. The Holy Spirit always is in agreement with the Word, okay, within its context. Now, so when Paul says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit. So when Paul says walk in the Spirit, that's a reference of the Holy Spirit, okay? So when you read the scriptures, you're going to find out, for an example, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 2, "This only what I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" All right, so he said, receive ye the Spirit. Have you received the Spirit by observing the works of deeds done, performed as prescribed by the law, or by the hearing of faith? You heard the message of the gospel, and faith came, and you placed faith in Christ, and thus, by faith in Christ, you received the Spirit. So the Spirit, that refers to the Holy Spirit, okay? All right, now, so beside that, then if we read, like in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." So the Holy Spirit works in us and grants us this ability to be patient for the hope of righteousness by faith. Okay? Then now we go back a little further, or we should go forward, I should say, in chapter 5, and this is where Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," verse 16, "and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the Spirit there, I believe, is referring to the Holy Spirit. That a believer, that you as a believer in Christ, you who are in union with Christ Jesus, the biblical Christ, the very unique Son of the living God, for you to be in union with him, Paul, you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, walk in the Spirit. So you are to conduct your life by constantly yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit does not mean you're being weird, you're being nauseous, you're being intolerant, or anything of that nature. See, walk the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will lead you to such a beautiful balance in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we'll deal with Paul when he talks about verse 22, about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's Galatians 5, verse 22. So we see there that a person who is yielded to the Spirit, the result of a believer yielding to the Spirit, it results in this fruit called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, so now, the whole encouragement is to walk in the Spirit. Now, we contend with the flesh, all right? So we contend with the flesh, because we're going to go back. Now, watch this. Let's go back to a few verses up. I'll start at verse 13. So Galatians 5, verse 13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So you have a walk of the believer who is to live a life walking in the power of the Spirit, walking yielding to the Spirit, thus having the fruit of the Spirit. He says, when you yield to the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, see, positionally you are in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, are you walking that out by yielding to the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What? The lust of the flesh. The flesh has these desires. The word lust, it refers to desires, all right? And so these desires and these feelings and these emotions and these impulses will surge through your flesh. And it's centered on selfishness and self-centeredness and self-glorification and exaltation. He says, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust. You're not going to be centered on selfishness. You're not going to be inconsiderate of one another, because walking in the Spirit, it results in your, by love, serving one another, as Paul said in verse 13. All right, it's loving your neighbor as yourself. So if you love yourself, whatever degree you love yourself, do you love your neighbor? Like, do you love and honor your neighbor? He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. See, that's when now you're getting open to the flesh. That's when you're now being dominated by the flesh. All right, you start really attacking one another, contention and strife and division. All right, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay? So if you yield to the Spirit is the antidote. By yielding to the Spirit is the antidote to your fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So it says now, verse 18, he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So led of the Spirit. So he's talking about being led. In other words, you're following the leading of the Spirit. Now, down on the inside of every believer indwells the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he guides you. The Holy Spirit, he nudges you. He gives you convictions in your heart of things to do and things not to do, because he's real. And this is all by faith, based upon the authority of the Holy Scriptures. So every time you yield to the Spirit and you thus come into agreement with the authority of the Holy Scriptures, you then are walking in the Spirit. So when you handle matters according to the authority of the Word of God and you handle them properly in the Spirit of Christ, you are walking in the Spirit. Again, walking in the Spirit does not constitute being weird, you know, wide-eyed, and always have to say something about the Bible or religion or something or whatever. No, it's a balanced life. So if we look at verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit that the Spirit will produce in your life as a result of a life that's yielded to him and led by him is, number one, love. It's not selfish. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. The Spirit will lead you to that. Goodness, moral excellence, faith, faithfulness, meekness, power under control, temperance, self-control, and the discipline of your fleshly appetites. These are things the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit results in these things right here. So if you're not having the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, is it because you're not yielded to the Spirit? See? So walk in the Spirit. He didn't say walk in religion. All right? So people can be very religious and cut your throat. Okay, what we're talking about is the same Spirit. Well, Paul said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body. Okay? Now, so then we go on down, we read verse 24. And they that are Christ's, those that belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Well, the crucified, which means we put to death these things of the flesh. We contend with it, we'll keep putting to death. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, so if you're in the Spirit, so right now by virtue of the fact you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, you have a genuine faith in Christ, you are in the Spirit. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, he says, let us walk in the Spirit. Now walk this out now. Walk the life that's yielded to the Spirit. Now walk in the Spirit. Okay, doesn't mean that you as a believer will ever miss God. You can come short, because sometimes there are times when I have messed up. All right, I've got off course. I have not always 100% every day, every moment have yielded to the Spirit in every case. Okay, and so, but you get back in line. Okay, so notice what he says again. He says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Why? Because there are certain passions and lust that's within the flesh that wants to control. And if you feed that, that's what's going to control your life. That's going to dominate your life. That's going to cause you to be more conformed to the world. All right. And by you being identified with Christ and being a believer in Christ and have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, what happens is the flesh and these passions and these desires and impulses of the flesh is trying to lead you into to feed it so it can grow and advance and dominate your life. And that's how your testimony can be weakened. Okay? But Paul says, you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. He said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, centered on the flesh, provoking one another and envying one another. Just provoking people to anger. You're envying, you got this ill will toward other folk, all because you choose not to yield to the Spirit where they are concerned. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It is yielded to the authority of the Word of God and following the leading and the conviction the Spirit of God put in your heart. Has the Spirit ever led you to pray for somebody? Has the Spirit had led you to share Christ with somebody? Has the Spirit led you to do a special study in the Holy Scriptures? The Spirit led you to go give something to somebody and bless somebody with something? These are things that we can walk in the Spirit. So this is what he's talking about. Okay, now, I want to take you back to Romans chapter 8. Okay, take you back to Romans chapter 8. Now, again, we're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about being churchy. We're talking about a believer walking in the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, in fact, before I read the chapter in the book of Romans, I'm going to go ahead on and have you go forward with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, okay? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Paul speaks about, wow, there's so much in Ephesians in a couple of chapters here, but let me do it the one in chapter 1 real quickly here. So in verse 3, the first word, in verse 13, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul, the first two words are in whom, referring back to the person Christ Jesus, dealing with your union with Christ Jesus. All right, so he dealt with the blessing you have in Christ, your identification with Christ. So it says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word or the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you trusted Christ after you heard the word. You heard about the true gospel of your salvation. You trusted in whom? That's in Christ also. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, you were sealed with the Spirit. So you're stamped with the Holy Spirit. You have stamped with the Holy Spirit down in your heart. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. He dwells in you. All right? So you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. All right? Notice what he says. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right? So you got that. That's no doubt about that. Now, we get over into Ephesians chapter 5. And Ephesians 5, I'll start reading that verse. I'll start at verse 15. Well, let me start at verse 15. Well, I'll start at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it goes in, wives, submit yourselves unto the husbands, and tells the husband to love the wives, as Christ loved the church, and so on. So, now, he says, now be filled with the Spirit. If you're truly filled with the Spirit, if you're continuously being filled with the Spirit, because this be filled, this is an authoritative command for those who are in Christ to continuously be filled. And so it's a continuous refreshing by the Spirit. So it says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, Wow, time passed a lot fast. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority. We're going to take a break. We will be with you right after the break. Stay tuned in.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still, the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right. Well, thank you for staying tuned in to KLJNRadio.com, the final authority. Your host, Pastor Everett Robinson here. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off at. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're talking about our foundational text out of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, which Paul states to the believers there. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the flesh, so we're going to deal with that depraved nature, and then we're going to deal with being ruled and dominated by the flesh. The flesh deal with the impulses, those impulses and passion that goes through even the physicality of the body, those things that center on selfishness, and you got to have your way, irrespective of who you might hurt or upset or anger. It doesn't matter because the flesh wants to be fed. And so if it just caters to something that you know that's wrong, because see, the Spirit of God, if you really have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, He's guiding you. But the fact is, you have to lead to. He's not going to force you. He nudges you in the direction you must yield to Him to follow. And the result of following the Spirit is always love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So we read that to you in the book of Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Now we're over here in Ephesians 5. And Paul talked about be filled with the Spirit, okay? He said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit, all right? It's continuously being filled with the Spirit, so it would take a continuous yielding to the Spirit to be continuously filled with the Spirit. The result of yielding to and being filled with the Spirit, he says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, okay? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you can sing these psalms and hymns and make a melody in your heart to the Lord, and in your heart you glorify Christ, and you're giving thanks always, and you're giving thanks, and you're not complaining and murmuring about stuff, but you're giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do that, just when something went wrong, as it were, or something happened in your home or at the job or at school or, you know, in the church ministry or whatever, and if you can sing songs and hymns and you can, you know, give God thanks for all things, that's evidence you're yielding to the Spirit, because the Spirit will always lead you to honor the authority of the Holy Scriptures, all right? So then he goes on and says, submit yourselves one to another. And the fear of God, out of my fear of God, I want to honor my brother and my sister. Then it goes on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. So when a wife submit herself unto her husband as unto the Lord, because she's yielding to the Spirit, right, based upon the authority of the Holy Scripture. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, he's yielding to the Spirit, because this is what the Spirit will lead him to do. Okay? So this is the word. So when we see what the word says and we honor the word, then we submit to the authority of the Scriptures, then it is evidence of a life that's being yielded to the Spirit. The result of that is walking in the Spirit. Okay? Now, I want to take you to something. Let me give you an example of something here. Let me take you over to, I'm going to take you to Romans. I wasn't going to go to Romans chapter 8. I'll go back there later, but let me do Romans chapter 6. I want to point something out I think is very crucial. All right? So, now, Paul says in Romans 6, verse 1 through verse 4, and then I'll go jump to verse 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? So you become dead to sin. You can't at the same time be dead to sin and live in sin at the same time. It's an impossibility. All right? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The we there refers to those who have come to faith in Christ, who've been baptized by the Spirit into Christ, who is identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. So we're dead to sin. Positionally, we're dead to sin. Sin don't have no power and dominion over us. And he speaks of sin as a monarch here. He's speaking of the personification of sin as a dictator and a monarch who controlled the human race. But because our of our identification with Christ. We're free from that monarch. So it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says, know you not, do you not understand that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All right? So he's now dealing with the fact that we have been identified with the death, the glory, and the resurrection of Christ. All right? So we're dead to sin. It has to do with the fact that we were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into death. We're buried with him. We're by baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we even also should walk in newness of life. Well, we got a new life in us. We walk a whole different lifestyle now. So it goes on to verse 11. It says, likewise, all right, reckon, take into account, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So by virtue of the fact that you reckon, that means you take into account your identification with Christ, death, burial, and the resurrection. And you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto the personification of sin, that monarch of a sin. You're dead to it because now you, your relationship with it now is separated from it. I am now in union with Christ now. I'm under the authority and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin, but I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So when you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, this is what the Spirit would lead you to do. So that's being yielded to the Spirit, and now you are walking in the Spirit because you are being a doer of the Word, thus walking in the Word is the same as walking in the Spirit, okay? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So here, by virtue of you identifying yourself with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So I reckon myself that I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I will not let sin, therefore, reign and rule in my mortal body, that I should obey it in the lust thereof. All right? That is walking in the Spirit. Then he says, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. All right, so when he says neither yield ye your members, that's with your body parts. This is your body. Your body consists of members, okay? Eyes, nose, throat, knees, ankles, feet, toes. That's body parts. That's your members. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So he said, let it not reign. It's in there, the sin, the personification of the sin nature or the depraved nature is in the flesh, but it says you got to pull the reins on it and not let it reign as a kingly power. The word reign means to rule with kingly power. Don't let it reign in you. It's in the body, but don't let it reign. How you do that? I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin, and I reckon myself to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So when I stand on that and I apply that, I'm walking in the Spirit. This says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So when I yield myself to God, as though those who are alive from the dead, because I am alive from the dead because I'm alive unto God now. I come out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And you remember this instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. See, sin is not going to have dominion. See, the person who identifies themselves, reckon and take into account their identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and reckon them that them they have the new life of God in them, they're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. They count themselves as being dead unto sin. Sin cannot just take dominion over you. It loses its power, its grip. You bring it under a harness. All right? So this is what he's talking about. So this is how you walk in the Spirit. Now, you become more and more mature and more disciplined. However, it doesn't mean you're going to always, at every moment and every hour of the day, be perfect in your actions, because we still miss God at times. Okay? Here's the thing. You want to honor the authority of the Holy Scriptures. You want to honor the power of the Holy Spirit. So you are in the Spirit. Now, Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Walk this out. Be filled with the Spirit. All right? Giving thanks. These things you do, this is the part of your yielding to the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is. All right? So the result of your yielding to the Spirit is those things called love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, going back to Galatians, though, real quickly, let me take you to Galatians chapter 5. All right? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, we're going to talk about the lust of the flesh. Those things the flesh lusts after, if you yield to it, it results in works or deeds that comes as a result of yielding to desires of the flesh. So it says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh. Now it just said walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you don't walk in the Spirit, then there's a possibility you could fit in one of these categories, some of the categories, or most of the categories. He said the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. First one, he says, is adultery. Number two, he says, fornication. Number three, uncleanness. Four, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do or practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit is working in you, the result of your yielding to the Spirit, the result of your walking in the Spirit, the fruit of that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So as we read the Scriptures, we see what it is to walk in the Spirit. Because there's people, now there are people who have come to faith in Christ and trust in the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus the Christ. They have never set a foot in church, some folks. See, going to church is good. I believe that going to an assembly of believers that gather together for the common cause of worship and fellowship and the glory of Christ. I believe in that. I'm a pastor myself. However, it don't mean you are in the Spirit because you go to church. It don't mean you walk in the Spirit because you go to church, okay? Going to a local body of believers and fellowship, that's good, and we ought to do that. That's great. But walking in the Spirit constitutes being a doer of the word. It is a humble yielding to the Holy Spirit that indwells you, and the Holy Spirit indwells you will always lead you to honor and uphold the authority of the Holy Scriptures. So, as we look at the word, we see the Spirit and the word agree. See, Jesus Christ is the living word manifested in human form. The Holy Spirit in Christ, always in agreement. They never had an argument. Jesus never resisted the Holy Spirit. He always yielded to the Spirit. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, all right? Well, John the Baptist in chapter 3, John the Baptist had just baptized Jesus, and the Spirit of God came upon him in the form of a dove. And then we get over into the voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then immediately we get to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So he was led by the Spirit. And so we see, according to the Scriptures, Jesus says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Peter said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. St. John 2, that God giveth Jesus the Christ the Spirit without measure. So Christ had the Spirit without measure. He's the divine Son of God that was conceived by the Spirit into the womb of the Virgin named Mary to take upon human flesh so he can die for your sins. The Spirit and Christ, the living word, was always in agreement. Well, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, dwells in me. He is total, complete, 100% agreement with the Word of God, with the Holy Scriptures. So when you honor the authority of the Holy Scriptures and you yield to that and you're a doer of the Word within its context, you're yielding to the Spirit. The Spirit empowers you. He leads you. He guides you. He teaches you. So walking in the Spirit, this is, see, now the result of walking in the Spirit also results in your loving your fellow brother, you're serving your brother out of love, you're being honorable and upstanding with your fellow brother. This is what walking in the Spirit does. Walking in the Spirit is not something that is really offensive. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. There's no law against those things. When you look at the works of the flesh, you will see that for the most part, there's a lot of laws against those things. Some things, not so much so, but for the most part, there are laws against those things. All right, the world, they do compromise and all that. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against that. Okay? So, again, when you identify yourself with Christ and when you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin but alive unto God, to Jesus Christ, the Lord, when you do that, you are yielding because that's the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God works in you both to will and to do of the Father's good pleasure. So this is walking in the Spirit. Okay? Now, let me go back to, I told you earlier, I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. So I'll go there for a moment. See, because you're going to always have these impulses and feelings and emotions and stuff that's going to come up in your flesh because the flesh is seeking to be gratified. It's seeking to be fulfilled. It's seeking to be fed. And you're going to have to take control of that. You're going to have to take like they put bits in the horse's mouth. All right? And you on that horse got a lot of power. Your physical strength in comparison to the strength and the power of the horse is absolutely nothing. That's why they put what is called a bit, a harness, in the mouth of a horse. So that if that horse is running real fast, for an example, and you pull the reins and that bit goes out on him, he comes under subjection. Why? Because he has the power to really do some damage. Well, your flesh can do a lot of damage. If you live by that flesh, it can mess up a whole lot of things in your life and the lives of others. And here we see that it's important to bring it a harness on it. And the Spirit will lead you to put a harness on the passions and the lust of the flesh. So they that are Christ have crucified the what? Flesh with its affections and its passions, its lust. That's what it does. See? And so when you yield to the Spirit, the result is temperance, the discipline of your fleshly appetite. So this is what we're looking at. So again, I want to go over the fact that when you are after, when your heart is set on the things of the Spirit, you go after the things of the Spirit, those things that center on glorifying Christ. So Paul says again, they that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. Those who do not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that's dominated and controlled by the flesh, a carnal mind, they cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We read that to you. We also showed you in verse 13, where Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. It brings to death. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So you're going to put to death those deeds of the body. Okay? Why? The Spirit will lead you to do that. The word mortify means to put to death. Those things that the body will, the fleshly body will lead you to do that you know that's, hey, I got to put that to death, man. Because if I don't, this thing will result in my death, as it were. So it says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right? So the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, so as you go through the Word and you look at the Scriptures, you see these things, you want to look at, am I truly walking in the Spirit? Am I truly centered on glorifying Christ? Am I truly committed to yielding to the Spirit, or by I love my brother or my sister, even though there's some things that I see that I didn't particularly like about them, am I going to blow my emotions and my impulses up, or am I going to yield to the Spirit and let grace and gentleness reign and rule and have them out? That would be the Spirit. See? So, Paul's talking about, also, let me bring something else out real quick before we close, because we got a minute or so left. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual. See, when you yield to the Spirit, that's being spiritual. He just talked about walking in the Spirit. He talked about being led of the Spirit. He said, that's being spiritual. Just going to church don't make you spiritual. Going to a mosque or a temple or a synagogue don't make you spiritual. It is walking, being led by the Spirit. So it says, if any man be overtaken in the fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So when you have a heart to restore people, not go and do more damage, talk about them, putting them down. He said, when you go restore them in the spirit of meekness, that's walking in the Spirit. So as we go on, and we might have to pick up part two on next week, but I do want to mention that we have a topic coming up dealing with the origin of the religion of Islam, the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad, and so on. And then I have my guest, Dr. Reggie Smith, with me. And he'll be with us for a couple of weeks and going over some things. But we'll announce that, but I do want to put that out there. So we're going to be closing in just a second here. But again, look at the Word of God, and the Word of God should be your final authority. Remember, the Holy Spirit is always in agreement with the Word. So when you are yielded to the Spirit, then the Spirit will always lead you to honor the authority of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to glorify Christ. He will never lead you to go hurt yourself or hurt someone else, because the emotions can run pretty strong and wild sometimes. Well, you got to bring that under a harness and keep under your body and bring it into subjection. And you do that by yielding to the Spirit. The Spirit says, no, quiet down. Don't say nothing. Don't go there. Don't do that. And you yield to that. That is walking in the Spirit. So I want to encourage you, be strong, be steadfast in your faith, hold your head up, walk in the Spirit, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And remember, always yield to the Spirit. The result is a life that is balanced, a life that glorifies the Lord, a life that will bless other people. This is what the Spirit will lead you to do. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means down in your heart where the Spirit indwells, you yield and follow Him. That you're yielded to Him, you're humble before Him, the result is glorifying Christ. Okay? So if you have a question or comment, you can call in, and you want to ask a question or what have you, please feel free to email me at ambassador@yahoo.com, ambassador, ambassador@yahoo.com. And if you email me, I would definitely will reply back to your email and your questions. God bless you. See you next week on the Final Authority. Stay tuned in next week to kljnradio.com. Until then, remember, the Word of God is the final authority. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new Q, QLJNradio.com. You're listening to the hot new Q, QLJNradio.com. still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs, The Cube.